Ladies and gentlemen, welcome, welcome, welcome to the Chips and Bits podcast. My name is Kenny Myers, and with me, as always,
Matthew Anderson.
That's right, the Canadian bombshell joining us from beautiful Boise, Idaho. Matt, how are you doing today?
I'm great.
Yeah. You ready to talk? Oh, I didn't want to hear more than that. Are you ready to talk about video games?
Yeah, always ready.
Okay, now talk more.
I was just, I still have a little bit of, this is a for those not watching, just listening, this is a surprisingly non-frequent morning podcast for Kenny and I. And I've noticed as I'm talking, I still have a little bit of my morning voice, so you'll get.
And what are we mourning today?
The deep, sultry.
Death of the double A game?
Death
is that
of.
Is that what we're mourning? You know what time it is?
I don't know.
Let's start the theme! Oh, God! The theme broke. Oh, maybe we're mourning this podcast.
Mourning this podcast. It's over.
Let's try it again. Thanks, Zedcaster.
That was much better.
I wish people could see the dances we do during the theme.
Can't they?
I could not show the title card on the YouTube.
Oh, I forgot about the title card. Yeah, that does ruin that part.
It does. But I mean, I could be lazier, which I would always prefer, and not put a title card up. Like the bare minimum amount of editing, and I still don't want to do it.
They can see your giant coffee mug, though, steaming up one side of your glasses.
Is it?
Yes.
There it is. Today, we're talking about Senua's Saga, colon, yep. Hellblade 2.
Yeah. They reversed Hellblade. The colon.
They did. It is a sequel to a game that I did not care for and that you did really love.
Yes.
Which was Hellblade.
Although my review of the original game was that it felt a lot like one of those games where sort of like the sum was greater than all the parts, and that there was a lot of potential, and I really liked what they were doing and where they were going with it.
Yes, and I just thought it wasn't. I thought it was a beautiful but like poorly constructed game with like weak combat and just like a lot of walking. And the great news is they fixed everything. That's a lie. They didn't fix anything. In fact, they seem to have doubled down. But, Matt, I just beat this game. You beat this game months ago. Tell me what you think.
Yeah.
Tell me what you think of this game.
I would say, you just heard me sum up my review of the original. I would say my review of this one is the exact opposite. Like, my summary for this game is that the individual parts are quite impressive in their own merits. And the sum of all those parts is one of the most boring games I've ever played. It's just, I mean, it's like, it's quite the slog. There's way too much walking. There's way too much looking at stuff that's not really relevant, but beautiful. God, is it beautiful.
It is. Maybe the most beautiful game I've ever played.
It's intensely realistic, in especially with facial expressions and some of the environment aspects that they play with.
You know what they really nailed? Rocks.
What? Yeah, actually, they did beat rocks really.
They really did rocks justice in this game. It's going to be hard to make rocks better than in Senua's Saga Hellblade 2.
Yeah. Also, like distanced water. They also did a fantastic job. Oh, yeah,
and particle effects. I feel like the particle effects in this game were pretty great.
Yeah, so you do a lot of walking, you do a lot of looking. Even
walking is an interesting choice. Because mostly in games, they at least give you the option to really speed up. But yes. In this game, they really stick to the realistic pace of walking.
Yeah, you can either walk or you can do like a light jog.
A light jog that Matt gave me the advice. And if you're going to play this game, I recommend you do it too. Go into the accessibility options and turn on the run toggle. Because otherwise, it is so painful to walk around this game.
Like Sekiro, you will develop a blister on one of your fingers, except it will be the inside of your left thumb, and you'll get so annoyed from just pressing sprint over and over and over again that you might not finish the game.
And unlike Sekiro, this isn't that good of a game.
Unlike Sekiro, the parry-based combat system is a nightmare in this game.
It's such a nightmare. So one of the things this game does is it doesn't tell you anything.
Right.
We can love
that sometimes.
We can absolutely love an immersive game like that. Like, but it's not like Elden Ring or like FromSoft doesn't tell you anything. Like they at least are like, hey, use LB to parry. This game literally just throws you in and occasionally puts up tutorials.
Yes.
I can't even remember them, but the distance, I'm sure I think there were tutorials. I mean, to be fair. But the distance between when those first tutorials appear and the next battle is significant enough that you almost forget how to fight every time. I can't tell you how many times I pressed, like, and this is trained from Dark Souls, like the LB button to parry when it was the RB button. Like, that, there was a whole half of the controller you didn't use. In fact, you probably only use 4 buttons in this game, pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, that's not even mentioning the fact that what they're trying to do with this combat system is make parry very important. You know, it's the only way you can boost this super meter and counter sort of like this deluge of quick time style attacks that are coming your way.
It's not the only way. You could dodge and get it.
Yes, you can. But like the timing on these things is poor. There's almost no subtle indication in some of the movements. The responsiveness of the controls based on what you're trying to do and when you want to parry and dodge also seems delayed and slowed. And so there's this painful aspect of the parrying mechanic, which seems like it's important. And what the combat system then turns into in almost every fight is, let me just see if I can block/survive enough until I get my boost meter, then press the boost meter and kill a guy instantly. And that's just not fun to do that 150 times in a game.
It was not fun. And beyond that, there were things that they added in, like they have, like, you know, the unparryable attack, which is poorly telegraphed. And then they have like directional dodging, which is so bad, like because the enemy like shoots straight forward. And if you're in the way, it's just so bad. The combat in this game is like, it's beautiful looking, like, but it is so bad. And the way that you encounter it. You know, I remember The Last of Us, where I talked about like, oh, it telegraphs like when you're going to fight and you're just in this like thing. In Hellblade, it's almost always a circle. Like you're always in a circle and it's always just like random guys spawning from the shadows.
Yep.
And it looks
like you beat a guy and then it's like a guy's coming and you turn, you fight that guy and then you turn and you fight this guy.
Kill animation that takes like 10 seconds. Looks cool. Next guy spawns. Am I done yet? Do I have enough power to make this go quickly? Starts playing in the background. Throat singing just starts happening.
Thrugen float singing or whatever.
It is. I mean, the score is like the first game. Yep. Unbelievable. It's just so fun to play fucking games with throat singing. It's just such a fun, like, musical style. I mean, God of War had some of this too, and I would say better executed, obviously. This game, you really hit the dial, pretty like the sum of its parts thing that you came up with, because like not until 60% in was I truly in sections where like that was really fucking cool. Like, and that was after a lot of walking.
Right. yes.
And then you get to what is the core mechanic of the game? I guess the core story, which is Senua rescuing other people. But also, one of the beautiful parts about the first game is that it dealt... Senua has a mental disability. And it's really quite beautifully handled in the first game.
Right.
And this game, it just felt like, because the metaphors, like, it's hard to tell what's real or not. It plays into it. In this game, they just kind of, it felt like they were like, fuck all. Like, this is a mythical place, kind of. But really, I don't know. I felt like the story of the first one was more, it felt like a metaphor of, like, everything she's going through, everything she feels, and also this, like, debilitating, but wonderful, like, concept of where what her disease leads her to, tragedy, loss. And this game was just like, now she's a superhero, and and the core game mechanic got really cool, which is like us fighting giants, but it's literally the last three chapters of a 7-6 chapter game. And then by the time the last giant came along, I was actually really tired of that mechanic too, right? Like, I was just like, I don't want to, like, this guy's the giant, like, he created the giants. What are the giants real things? Like, they just really, I feel like the story really lost the beautiful metaphor idea and just bought into this, like, it gave me nothing to, like, latch onto as, like, what it was trying to say.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more. And one of the things I felt like had really great potential, and that was a successful hook for me in the first game, was the first time you were exposed to what is now kind of like this core essential part of the game and subtext, which is the audio element to this game, where in the first one and in the second one, you're encouraged to put on headphones. It's explained to you fairly directly in the first one, more loosely through sort of metaphors and stuff in the second, that Senua suffers from severe psychosis and that it's debilitating and crippling in almost every situation, but it also enables her to kind of be the fighter and the, you know, anti-hero that she is. Yeah. And in the first game,
I would say hero.
So in the first game, you know, you put on these headphones and the first time you encounter this, I don't even know what to call it. It's not really a game mechanic. It's just like a core theme in the game where it felt like what they were trying to do was have me feel a little bit. I'm not going to say we got anywhere close because we wouldn't have any idea what it's like to suffer from psychosis, but
no,
to get as close as we could to understanding what it might bring up in you. And there was a lot of like dialogue, internal dialogue that would happen through the voices in the headphones, and they'd be very subtle, but very poignant as well. Like you would be going through something and you as the player would be like, oh, this area looks kind of creepy. And Senua, the main character, wouldn't say anything out loud, but one of the internal voices might say something like, she's scared, right? And it'd be very, like, and you'd be like, oh man, yeah, right, I'm kind of scared too. And so it would do this sort of reinforcing thing. And I wouldn't say it was perfect, but that was one of the things in the first game that I was like, oh man, that was so cool how they did that back and forth. And it really felt like it was making you crazy by having to listen to this internal dialogue. In the second game, I would have a hard time not being too harsh on whoever decided to take that that beautiful inception point and turn it into basically exposition dialogue, where you're walking into an area and instead of it being this like beautiful internal dialogue, it's more like those are characters and they're talking to each other and they're talking about stuff that is dumb, you know, like they're. In the second game, an example would be like, instead of them being like, she's scared, and then just leaving it there, it would be like, she's frightened. No, she's not. Yes, she is. I can tell she's frightened. You don't know what you're talking about. Yes, I do. And it's like, just shut up. Like, I don't care. Like, this is not what I believe would be happening in her head right now after what I know about her and her, you know, disability. Yeah. So it just was really annoying.
Well, I think it allowed me to empathize even more after this game with just how debilitating psychosis could be, because it was so fucking annoying that I felt horrible for people who really have to go through this. I was like, I can imagine I just feel like, I mean, yeah, I don't have a model for how that is, but I it literally, because it fed into the gameplay. I don't know. Like, it's weird. It's weird to tackle this because obviously you and I don't suffer from this problem,
right? At all.
And I think it's fair to say that it's debilitating, based on everything I've read about it, as well as just experiencing this version of it. If this is the version that people experience, it's awful. I didn't care for it much in the first game. It's like, it's really bad. And I know, like, it's hard to review that because it's like, well, we didn't like the writing of it, you know, but also I have to feel like people with psychosis, like they have some bad authors that speak to them. I like, it's sure. Just like, this feels this, that part made me just feel more and more empathy and like sympathy for people who deal with this disease. It's tragic disease. Anyone who's able to fucking breathe with this disease in the morning is a hero in my fucking book. Like if this is even a like hint of what it's like it is so difficult. So I did appreciate that part. And so it's hard for me to sort of like gauge that review. Like, should it be a part of the game mechanic or is it part of like the difficulty game mechanic, right? Like the internal voices, should it be part of the story? Like, how much, like, they did a ton of research, I remember, from the original game. Mm-hmm. So yeah. My assumption is they continued that. So I actually find that part difficult to bottle, like, into, yep. Like, a like it's really good or, like, it's really bad. It just, I don't know. It feels terrible. It was different because the metaphor of it wasn't interwoven into this game, like, of the psychosis in terms of how it played into the plot so much, like you said, pretty much.
I think, yeah, for me, I totally feel you, and I'm happy that you had that reaction to it, because that's more like what I was hoping would happen from me in the first one. And it is a subtle difference, but I just think that in the first one, the internal dialogue felt crazy making to me. Like, yeah, it felt like it was stirring up stuff in my brain. It was making it feel stressful. And it was filling me with anxiety sometimes and making it difficult for me to like play the game without stress. And yeah. In this one, it was just annoying. And I don't think the kind of annoying that I would hope you were going for with, if this is what you were trying to tackle. Like, I don't think.
Yeah.
So that's how it landed with me.
It's interesting because it's like, it was very annoying, but also like that might be the thread. Like I guess to like my point to sort of tackle on to how I feel about this game, it's very annoying to have psychosis and have to play this game with that, if that is how it is. Like Hellblade's character also has to be involved in this world with all this shit while dealing with this. Like, I am like Senua, like, oh, that's terrible. You have to go through Rock Walking Simulator. Right, and also have these fucking voices that are really annoying. And I assume that's true to form based on the last thing, and I'm sure it's different levels, and I want to be really cautious here, and like, you know, I felt annoyed, and I thought to myself, this disease totally sucks. If this is even one-tenth the truth of this, like, this is maddening. And I 100% believe that anyone with, like, any sort of disease, like, there's got to be bad writers in your head too. Yeah. Like there isn't all. So I don't know. Like that's why I feel it's challenging tackling that. Except to say, like, I'm sad that if you had psychosis and then you had to fucking deal with these assholes and their rock giants. Like it's just like,
and you had to walk everywhere. The hidden
people are just being assholes. Just give us the answer. The hidden people, and they're like, yah, 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 yah. Like they just, it's just. Yeah, I mean, so I was annoyed, like you were. I was like, please just shut up. But also, that's kind of the problem, right? Like, it's like, that is at least, from my understanding of this, a part of psychosis, is that madness.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I think maybe
it just wasn't interwoven into the plot. It was just like, Senua has psychosis, and then she's also helping these people with this giant problem.
Like, yes. I don't want to dwell on it too long. I could be way off base here. I think that all I wanted to get out there was that in the first game, it felt like the internal dialogue was crazy making, as I've said, but then also just like the writing was more, it was more troublesome and curious in how the what the voices said and how they talked to you when you were listening to it in the headphones, you know. They would be very confused themselves and they would be talking about stressful things. In the second one, they just, the writing to me just felt purely like exposition dialogue. It was just like, they believe in you. And it's like, yeah, we fine. Like, it's just so cheesy. Like, I don't believe that someone, and maybe that's where I'm wrong, because I have no idea what it's like. It just doesn't, it doesn't strike me as something that someone with psychosis would have, you know, in that situation would be like talking to themselves, be like, they believe in you. No, they don't. Yes, they do. No, it's like, okay, we get it. Like, it's just, it was just boring dialogue.
I mean, that's the one thing to me, the one take on that, I agree. The one take on that, that I think is interesting, is if all of a sudden, because the first game, it was so interwoven, like I keep fucking saying, like, it's like, it was like threaded into the narrative and like loss and tragedy. And then the second game, it's more like she's a superhero also with this disease, but it's not interwoven into the narrative. And I can appreciate that attempt. I just think that the, unfortunately, the gameplay underlying it was just not very good. Not very good is generous. I thought it was boring as fuck. Beautiful. Well, yes,
absolutely.
Yeah.
But here's where, taking that hero metaphor, right?
Yeah.
There's more voices than just Senua's internal dialogue voices that you hear. There's also her, like, I don't know what to call it other than like her trauma voice. Like, she's got this voice that is of a past person that she knew that had a bad situation with. And every time she encounters something that you and or her internal dialogue believe is cannot be overcome, this voice will chime in and try to make it even more difficult for Senua to cross that river. And it's this amazing, one of those deep demon voices, just like, Senua.
That's in the first game too. That guy's in the first game too. I believe it is one of her voices.
Yes. Well, I don't know how to word it other than like, you know, she's got like the angel devil thing going on. Right. And then she's also got this like,
she's got super like the
devil.
The plot doubt voice. Like, yes, it is, it does, voice. It shows up. It's like the personalization of like severe doubt.
Absolutely. Crippling, it's like, doubt. It comes up in those moments where it's like, you're really supposed to believe.
Such a delightful
voice. It's so good. And they nail it again in this game.
Yeah. It's just so, it's just, it's heartbreaking. Sorry. Yeah. Continue.
So what I was going to point out there is that part of why I thought it worked better in the first game was that you always have that voice as the fallback to be the catalyst to push through all the emotional stuff, to get to like move the plot along, to get Senua to the next situation. And that one was always really well done. So I think like moving into the second game, if they had wanted to take that more like superhero route with these, you know, with the disability, they still had that as like a clutch fallback that they could have used. And I don't think they needed to lean so far into this, like, yeah, I don't know how to describe it other than like, it's like that, it's like the head in God of War. It's like purely exposition based dialogue. And it didn't feel as crazy making. It just felt annoying. And I think they could have just,
whereas the head in God of War is just one of the best because he's a storyteller. Just he just tells mythology. It's really lovely.
Yeah.
Hard not to compare that Viking games.
That saddened me in this game because I was really excited to put my headphones back in and feel crazy, but not because I had to press run toggle 15 times a minute and listen to boring, you know, real life drama happening. That was not what I was.
Did you ever, there's a mechanic in this game where there's these hidden posts.
It's so stupid. I hate it.
I would go, I felt like it's actually the best progress meter you have for the game.
Right, because you're like, how much longer do I have? There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 more dots. Okay, I'm almost done.
Until they start like spreading them out severely in the end. In the beginning, they're like this, and it's your dad, the character of your dad, telling stories and mythology. But it's so funny that you brought up the head, because those stories, he's telling almost similar stories.
Yes. Yeah.
From God of War. But they're so delightful because they're just so, I mean, it's a different character, it's different, playful, but it's just like, it is, I love mythology. Every time I would find this hidden post, it gives you a little story about the mythology of the land. I would just like roll my eyes and then like you know, start talking about it. Starts with a very Norwegian name, and then it goes into the same sort of thing, like hated the days when it came through. And it was just like, there was just there was nothing. the audio experience, even if it was, the audio was like well recorded, it's well done, the music was great, and it was beautiful. This is like, it felt like such like a it's like an empty M&M, right? It's just like, it has a beautiful hard candy shell and you're really excited to find something in the middle, but you're just like chomp through and then you just like hit the other end, like if there's nothing there.
I would describe really it more as like a peanut butter M&M that you crunch into, and then you realize it's crunchy peanut butter on the inside. You're like, God damn it.
Then you realize someone slipped an almond M&M into you're like, oh God. I can't imagine. The real horror is for people experiencing this disease and also navigating the American health system. That was also unknown. I was just like, this, like, to have this and to also be in America must be a fucking living nightmare.
It must be like walking around in Hellblade 2. This must just be
a rocks. Like, yeah.
Just a without, slog. An absolute just painful slog.
No, it's definitely much worse. And,
it is much worse. Man. Don't joke about that, Kenny.
I wasn't joking about the disease. I just feel, it did make me feel bad because it was so annoying. And I think it's fine to focus on that. It just was, I was like at so many different levels. Again, like the first one, I at least felt I had a cohesive idea of what it was trying to say about this disease, right, about people. And this one, it felt like, is it trying to annoy me to feel this way? Is it like, what? I don't know. Man. You're
trying to tell me that if I had psychosis, I could still be a superhero?
Those giant stories were cool though. I like those.
I think the underlying premise was story. I think the story of how they became giants, I think that was super fascinating.
Essentially something they did or something like,
yeah,
it's fight like giants in this game.
An unfinished, an unfinished bad deed.
Yeah.
In life. Like, you know, you couldn't save a village or you betrayed someone and then you die with that failure, and the failure, you regret it so much that regret like becomes a giant, like turns you into a giant filled with that regret. It was fairly interesting.
And the way they tell that story is actually really cool too, which is the particle effects. They have this beautiful dew is what I would call it, like particle dew. And they tell these stories and you are just walking through the stories, but that's a common video game. That is a common video game trope. I mean, we've seen it before. Like, it's beautifully done. Everything in this game is beautifully done. It's just not a good game.
Right. Because at the end of that particle effect, you go to run, and instead you just lightly jog. It's just like, God damn it. Why can't I go anywhere and do anything? It's so stupid.
They start to introduce puzzle mechanics like halfway through the game. It takes a long time before it's just walking and fighting in a circle.
I don't remember any puzzle mechanics. What are you talking about?
The flipping the world using the spheres.
Oh God, I forgot all about that. Yeah.
The problem with those mechanics is puzzle mechanics is loosely quoted.
Yes, okay.
They are essentially just linear tasks. There's nothing particularly puzzling about them once you realize, oh, I just need to keep going down the path and looking at the spheres.
Yes.
And it will lead me the right way. It's not like Uncharted where you're like rotating things.
And hopefully you did go the right way, because if you didn't, you have to
walk. It takes like 20 minutes to go back. I wonder if they did that just because their rendering, like the rendering was so intense that they couldn't, if they did a faster speed. Like that, literally, that's how bad it was. I was like, is it like just the engine's too intense? Like they, like the visuals are so high def, like that they need to slow you down significantly, noticeably. Mm-hmm. I don't even know a video game where you walk this slow. Honestly.
Yeah, I can't remember.
What a bummer.
It was. This is a great way to describe it.
This is a great developer. Like,
yeah.
They clearly are doing interesting things. This is definitely a different kind of game. It just totally fails as a video game.
I agree. I was really upset to play this game, you know, because it's like, yeah, it's a developer we've come to like. I really enjoy, you know, I want to be one of those types of players, and then especially when it gets into this like review context, which doesn't hold much weight because we only have what, like 10 listeners or whatever, but where I can see that someone's doing something interesting and different and just applaud that part of it without having to be too critical of it.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it's like, you know, they did expect me to play through this and have an experience. And unfortunately, that experience was bad. Like, there's all these little great pieces that if I pull them out and extract them and we do just a review on the visuals of this game, or the audio engineering of the demon voice, or the facial expressions, or, you know, the
the audio engineering in this game is unbelievable.
Yes. You know, those would be A+ grades.
Yeah.
And then you package it all together and something went wrong. And by the end of this, I am upset and annoyed to play this game, and not for the reasons I think they want me to be upset and annoyed.
Yeah. Anyway. So that's fucking Hellblade 2. I didn't like the first one. So this was a forced play by Matt, and now he's lost a card, so he doesn't get to pick one less game next year.
I thought like Sekiro bought me like 5 cards.
I feel like if you play a game and you really like it, then I get the cards. Especially if you're gonna like it. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Like, if I play Gran Turismo and all of a sudden I become like a car girl, I feel like you fucking get a card. You get to pick the next game.
I get a free car.
Yeah. You get it. Literally, I buy you a car. I buy you a car. All right. Well, let's play the theme song and end this fucking misery.
Let's do it.
Just like the Giants end our pain by ending this episode. Thank you for listening. I'm Kenny Myers. And with me, as always,
Matthew Anderson. See you next month for Titanfall 2.
We need more throat singers in our podcast.
We are Roy.
No, throat singers, not idiots. Oh, sorry.